Hello everyone. I am so happy. What's the center? Let me go to the center right here. Is this center? Alright. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me back. My husband and I are so thankful and so honored to be in this covenant, this divine relationship with not only P-Sam and Lisa, but with Solomon's Porch. I almost called you sons and daughters. That's our church. All right, so I'm really thankful and happy. I love the theme, right? I love that we're here to experience and encounter God, yeah? So if you could, I have 40 minutes, you said, right? Do I still have 40 minutes? Yeah? So Mary, I'm going to look at you, like, you got to, I don't even remember the last time I preached 40 minutes, right? I think like an hour, right? No. Just remind me 5 minutes before, okay, Mary? Just go like this, all right? All right. I'm just going to go for it, all right? I want you guys to open your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 47. You know, as I was praying for sisters here at Solomon's Porch, I just hear the Lord, I just heard that phrase that says, deep calls unto deep. I just hear the voice of God calling each one of his daughters to come deeper. I feel like God is giving you this weekend an invitation to come to the deeper end. Huh? Isn't it? I think God is saying, it's time. It's time to come. Go a little deeper. Yeah? Take a risk. Don't be afraid. Jump in, right? God is saying, let's stop playing in the shallow water. Let's jump in. If I drown and die, I'm going to be with God. Right? Death doesn't scare us. Right? God is saying, let's overcome your fear and let's go deeper into the deep end. Amen? Alright. So as we read Ezekiel chapter 47, I want you to imagine Solomon's Porch sisters at the beach or by the river, since we're talking about the river, let's say, right? And some of you have your towels, right? You're laying, right? And you're reading. Some of you, you put your pants up a little bit and you're playing in the water. Some of you, you're like kind of sitting, some of you going deeper. Just imagine us in the alleys, in the spiritual realm. Even though you're all sitting and we're all dressed, in the spiritual realm, we're there right now. Okay, I want you guys to just use your imagination as we read this. If you could join me by honoring the Word of God by standing up as we read the Word. Ezekiel chapter 47. I'm going to read from New King James Version. Okay? It says, then he brought me back to the door of the temple. Everybody say, brought me back. And there was water, say water, flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. Everybody say east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. Verse 3. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Everybody say ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Say knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and it was a river. Everybody say it was a river. That I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim. A river that cannot be crossed. He said to me, son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank. the river. I want you to skip to verse 12. Along the back of the river, on the side, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month. Everybody say every month. Because their water flows from the sanctuary. Okay, when you sit down, I want you to write that. I want you to underline that, right? Because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. And I said earlier in Psalm chapter 42, verse 7, it says, deep calls unto deep. Let's pray, Father. As we gather before your presence tonight, we ask, Lord, that you will break off every lie of the enemy that kept your daughters from entering deep into the waters, Lord. God, we ask that you will break off every distraction of the enemy, Lord, that kept us from our rightful place in your presence, Lord. God, break every lie that says we're too busy. Break every lie that says I'm too tired. But God, we ask that you will break the lie of the enemy, God, that kept us from entering in deeper into your presence, Lord. God, we ask that you break off disappointment, that you will break off discouragement, that you will break off every lie that has been embedded in our minds, thinking it is just our thoughts, thinking it is just life. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you will break us out and you will break us through, God, into the deeper waters of your presence, Lord. Awaken us to the deeper, to the greater awareness of your presence, Lord. That your presence is life. Your presence is our reward. That your presence is our everything, Lord. God, we want to live from your presence. God, we want to carry your presence. God, we want to know your presence. God, we want to be known by your presence. God, we want to release your presence wherever we go, in our homes, in our children, in our schools, in our work, in our church. God, we want to be the people of your presence, Lord. So mark us tonight with your presence, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. There's power in the presence. Can we say that? There's power in the presence. There's power in the presence. God is really, as I was interceding, as I said earlier, God is inviting every one of you, no matter where you are in your journey with God, tonight God is saying, come, come, let's go little deeper. Amen? You know how we go? The way to go deeper into the presence of God is by honoring and valuing the presence of God. Amen? I wonder how much you and I value and honor the presence of God. When you honor somebody, you celebrate that person for who they are without getting offended or without struggling about who they are not. Does that make sense? With the presence of God, you know how you honor God's presence? By being more aware of his presence and knowing what he has done without getting disappointed about what he hasn't done yet in your life. I hear the Lord asking, will you devote yourself to my presence? Will you value my presence above all? wants to increase our discernment of His presence. You hear me? You can discern God's presence and live from His presence, not just on Sundays, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Not just when you're not, not just when you're at church, but even when you're changing your baby's diaper. You hear me? Even no matter where you are, no matter what time it is, if you are able to discern His presence, you could become aware of His presence and you could live from His presence. When you live with the awareness of the darkness around you, you know what you end up doing? You end up living life reacting to the powers of darkness. Whether it's, I don't know, in America, there's been a lot going on, you know, from storms to, right, fire to shootings. So many lives taken. When we are aware of the darkness more than we are aware of God's presence, you know what we're doing? We are reacting to the darkness and not living from the presence of God. If you can stay conscious of the presence of God, you can walk into any environment and you can change and you can shift the atmosphere. This is what Bill Johnson said. He said, what you are conscious of is released in your presence. You can write this down. This is so good. When I first, I'm like, whoa, what? Think about it. What you are conscious of right now, what are you conscious of? Oh, I'm tired. I'm sleepy. In your presence, if you're conscious of that, you release that. Wherever you are, what you are conscious of is released in your presence. You know, growing up, I don't remember how much I've shared at Solomon's Porch, but growing up, I didn't have the Father's acceptance, right? My father didn't like me because I was a girl. He made sure that I know that he was not happy that I didn't come out as a boy, right? So because of the lack of the Father's presence, I always lived with this insignificance, right? I don't matter, right? What I want doesn't matter. What I say doesn't matter. And I've gone through so many difficult situations where I was abused at age 5, right? And then what does the enemy say? It's your fault, right? And making me feel like from age 5 that something is just wrong with me. And my father confirmed it, right? With his lack of favor, with his lack of presence. And from a young age, I think about like 6th grade, I was so aware of demonic presence. You know how, like, I'll be walking down the street and out of nowhere, certain places, that same place, right? Every time I go by that same alley, like, my hair stands up, I just sense the demonic presence. I'm like, I run, right? And there's a certain stall in the bathroom. It's like, I don't want to go in there. Something's in there. I was so aware of this demonic presence. And the more I was aware, the more I got scared. And then it wasn't just those areas, but even at night, those demonic presence visited me. And I was tormented. I was tortured by demonic voice and demonic presence. Knowing the demonic presence from a childhood, you become desperate. It's like, God, I need you because I cannot live like this. I don't want to be possessed or even oppressed. You know, I would get choked at night. I would hear the voice. I mean, just crazy. I don't even want to go into details, right? The things that the demonic presence did to me from 6th grade, it was crazy. And I became so desperate. that I would be the only sixth grader at the morning dog prayer, 5:30 in the morning. It's like, pastor, his wife, one elder, and me, right? And, you know, I went to a Presbyterian church, right? Or Baptist, depending on where I was. And the pastor's like, and then me, right? Sixth grade, I'm on the seventh grade, I'm on the ground in front of the altar, and I'm just wailing, and I'm just punching the ground. God, you got, I need you, God. And I, from a young age, I read the Bible, I go to church. Obviously, it's not the same. And what I experience at night, right? I need deliverance. I need help. But no one could help me. And the only way I knew how was to be desperate before God. And so I thought the way for me to like get powerful was to receive the gift of tongues. And you know, from a young age, desiring that from a young age at a Presbyterian church is no, right? I was taught it's more demonic than God. No. You know, I was just like you. I was taught charismatics push you, and they say hallelujah over and over. I was taught against the presence, the reality of the manifest presence of God. But you know what? But none of those teachings kept me from just accepting that, because I was desperate. You hear me? There's power in desperation, because when you're desperate, you can't just sit and wait. When you're desperate, you're going to jump on water. You either walk or you drown. You either get killed or you kill. And from that, and you know what? God didn't give me the gift of tongue. I would be rolling on the ground as if I was demon possessed. And I'm like, oh God, please. I didn't receive it until I was in college, right? But as I grew older and older, my desperation for God's presence grew and grew. And I remember my first year at Bible college, right? And, I mean, I can't go into all the stories, but my first year in Bible college, it was by like grace of God. It was a miracle that I got accepted at the last minute. I mean, people are like, how are you going to pay for it? I don't know. Why don't you apply for loans? I don't know how. But why are you going to, did they accept you? No. What do you mean? Why are you packing them? Because God's going to make a way. But where are you going? To the dorm. Did they accept you? No, not yet. Do you have money? No, not yet. And people are like, you need plan B, girl. I know you have faith, but you need a plan B. And I'm thinking, if I could afford a plan B, I will. But I can't. I have nowhere to go. I have nothing else to do. There was only one pathway. So before I was accepted, before I applied for any money, before I got any scholarship, you know what I did? I packed up. I went to this Bible college, and I went and said, so can we make this happen? And by the grace of God, it happened, and I got in. And you know what? The whole first quarter, I'm like weeping. I'm studying. Those of you that don't want to study, man, I'm studying and I'm weeping because I can't believe I'm here. My first quarter there, I was so hungry. And there are times where I wouldn't sleep. You know what I mean? Because I knew there was more. I said, God, I know of demonic presence very intimately. I feel it, I touch it, I see it, I know it. But I gotta know your presence more than I know this demonic presence, God. And out of that desperation, often I would cry out, and I would pray. And my cry was, God, I want to feel you. I want to touch you. I want to feel you with every fiber in my body. God, I want to know you. I want to in my first class, right? And one morning, it was 9 a.m., and I had to run to class because I had a study of the miraculous with Dr. Searle, right? And so I ran. I haven't slept all night. I was seeking God, and I haven't yet spoken in tongues. I haven't yet. I never even heard about being slain in the Holy Spirit. All I know was I wanted the reality of God's manifest presence. So I ran, and I sat. And as I'm trying to study, my professor, after about 10 minutes of trying to teach, he's like, you know what, class? He closes his book. On my way here, God told me that some of you have been hungry. Some of you have been hungry for God. And God told me to pray for you guys, but we're behind. And I tried to ignore that voice. But I could no longer ignore that voice. So if that's you, I want you to stand up. And, like, I don't, prophetic, word of knowledge, I didn't know any of that, right? So I'm like, oh, that's me! Oh my God, God, you actually heard my cry last night, and you told my professor, oh my God, just for me! So I stood up, but then, like, a bunch of other people stood up, I'm like, what? And I remember as my professor started praying, I found myself on the ground, shaking from head to toe, my eyelids, right, shaking, right? And then this minty feeling from the right here, right? It started to spread to my fingers and my toes and my eyelids, and I felt the presence manifest, the reality of His presence all over. And you know what? From that moment, I thought, wow, God, if this is you, I want more. What did Bill Johnson say? Physically, if you're hungry, you eat, you get full. But spiritually, if you get hungry and you eat, the more you eat, the more you get hungry. The more you eat, the more you get hungry. And so if we're not hungry for the presence of God, it's because we haven't eaten. We haven't partaken of His presence lately. Desperation is so important, right? I remember my first, I'm a missions pastor. That's my primary passion and calling. And I remember my first mission trip to Africa, right? And, you know, unlike my husband, who's anointed, articulate, he could sing, he could preach, he could prophesy, right? With words of knowledge, right? And whatever he says just sounds like God. It sounds so good. Wow, right? Unlike my husband, right? Me, this small Asian girl, an immigrant, right? I still don't know where to put the definite articles, right? So I may leave out the where I need to, right? So it's this immigrant who does not have the gift of articulation, who doesn't feel anointed like my husband. I had to leave my first mission trip to Africa, and some of our team members were like 20 years older than me, and some of them went to these like Ivy, you know, universities, and I just went to a small Bible college, right? And so I'm like feeling very not that confident, right? And so because I'm so desperate, right? And I woke up every morning in Africa, 5 a.m. Our wake-up call was 7 a.m. I would wake up 5 a.m., right? And I'm afraid of bugs. And so I would spray half of, right, D over me in the morning, right? And I would walk out. And I would go to the other building in the cafeteria. And for 2 hours, I would just spray a circle, right? And I would just stay there because I'm afraid. Like, I feel like if I go outside of the circle, there's going to be bugs, right? Mosquitoes and cockroaches and there's, like, scorpions. There's, like, crazy looking. bugs everywhere. So I'm just like in there for 2 hours, like, oh God, please God, don't forsake me. God, if you don't come through, nothing's gonna happen. And I'm gonna look dumb. I'm their pastor, I'm their leader, but I don't know what I'm doing, God, so please. So it was more of a desperate plea, right? And off for 2 hours, I would just cry out to God. And then at 7 a.m. going, I would share, you know, with our team what God spoke and, you know, act like I'm confident, but inside I'm like terrified, like, oh, right? Am I saying this right? I remember one day in Africa, I was saying in my circle and I was praying. I was praying and all of a sudden in my prayer, I just felt the demonic presence just whoosh, because I'm so aware. I know how to discern the demonic presence just like that, right? Because I experienced it like all my life. The demonic presence just whoosh, like rushed in, and the fear in me, like, oh, it was about to come out. But then the presence of God in my circle, right? This circle that I made, right? In my circle, I felt the presence of God arise. And when I felt the presence of God, even though I felt the demonic presence, so dark, so like almost murderous, right? It's so violent, it's so dark, that presence came, but then the presence of God arose, right? And this boldness came. And I remember doing like spiritual warfare for a couple of hours against this demonic spirit, right? And at the end of that 2 hours of doing spiritual warfare, I heard the voice of God saying, Sunny, worship is the answer. Worship is the answer. And I was like, oh, what was the question though? Because I didn't ask you any question. Worship is the answer. Ooh, okay. And I remember that day we had to pack up and we had to go to this unreached village, right? And we stayed in a tent and we went from hut to hut praying for people, inviting them to our little area for revival service, right? And as we went from hut to hut, we saw a man that was dying. He was dying. They were ready to bury him. He couldn't even sit up. And the sweat was pouring down from his face, his whole body. He was soaked in sweat. And he couldn't open his eyes. He was dying. The family said he was dying. And I remember we're praying, right, in the name of Jesus, be healed, right? And we're like, oh God, we beg, please God, you didn't send us all the way to Africa, right? And oh God, please, nothing, right? We prayed for like almost an hour. And then I heard God say, I told you, the answer is worship. I said, oh, okay. And so we started to worship, right? For you are great, you do miracles. That song, right? It was pretty new at that time. It was many years ago. So we were singing this song in English because we didn't know the dialect at that time over there. And as we were singing, we just felt the presence of God increasing. And as the presence of God increased, out of nowhere, this rushing wind comes through the little window, wooden window, and went through this little hut, and it went out the little door. And then we were like, whoa, what was that? And we looked at the man, and he was sitting up completely dry, completely healed. Not only him, but his niece was dying, and he's like, you gotta come with us. And our team went with this healed man to another hut, and they prayed, and they worshiped, right? And God healed that little girl also. And when they came to the revival service, testify. And God released the revival in that small village in Mozambique, Africa. we're so anointed? No. We didn't know what we were doing. How? Because we were desperate. Because we really knew that we can do nothing apart from Him. And the only way was His presence. Ezekiel chapter 47, if you look at verse 1, it says, the Spirit of God brought Ezekiel back to the temple. He brought me back to the door of the temple. There was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple. You know what that means? The temple represents the presence of God, where the presence of God dwells. You know where the right place to start every day is? The presence of God. Oftentimes, we want success, we want fruitfulness, but we don't often start at the right place, which is the presence of God. It says the Spirit of God brought Ezekiel back to the door of the temple of God. It is important that you and I, as daughters of God, keep going back to the temple, to the house of God, to the presence of God. I remember one night, something woke me up and my heart was pounding. So that, I don't know, 10 years ago, my heart was pounding. And I was like, am I nervous? Am I scared? It didn't feel demonic. What is this? Am I anxious? What is this? And then I felt like, wait, this feels kind of similar. So I ran to my closet. And on the floor of the closet, I said, God. And as I opened my mouth, I started to cry. I said, God, I want more. God, I want more. I know there's more. God, what my heart is beating for is more. God, give me more or give me death. Give me more or give me death. I was crying, wailing, and screaming and demanding more, more, God, more. And then I heard a still small voice of God saying, more of what? Like what? More of what? Do you want a church building? Yes, but that's not the more. I couldn't have a baby for 9 years. Back then I couldn't. Do you want a child? Yes, but no. I mean, yeah, but what I'm crying out for isn't an answered prayer. More of what? What do you want, Sonny? You gotta be specific. More of what? You want me to answer your prayers? You want me to save your brother? You want me to release a financial breakthrough and give you a church building? What do you want? You want me to bless you with a child that you've been asking for, trying to have? What do you want? You want me to heal your mother who's been tormented with anxiety attack all her life? What do you want? And I remember saying, God, yes, I want all of that. But even if you gave me all of that, that the contentment is only momentary. Yeah, if you give me a house or a church building, yay! But you know what? After 2-3 weeks or even 2-3 months, it's like, it's just part of life. We used to cry out for a child. And you know what? We were very thankful. I would give my last breath for my only child. But you know what? That excitement of, oh, I can't believe I have a, oh my, it only lasted few months. And I had to deal with colicky baby that kept me from sleeping for 100 days. I had to deal with my body not recovering for a whole year. I didn't have any balance. I used to be able to like do, you know, tumble and, you know, jump and, you know, I used to be very athletic. You know, things that I had to deal with because God blessed me with a child, which I am thankful for. But that it doesn't satisfy this longing of my soul that says, I want more. And at the end of that night, you know what I cry for? God, more than a child, more than an answer of prayer, what I desire is you. God, your presence is what I want. Your presence is my reward, God. God, my inheritance. I don't want money. I want your presence. Your presence that is real. Your presence, God, that shifts the atmosphere. Your presence, God, that establishes your people's hearts and minds in truth. When you see God, God is saying, waters, but in that deep waters, that place is beyond answered prayer. You hear me? That place is beyond blessings on earth. That beyond that deeper place with God is a place of intimacy with God the Father. It's a place where you know and you know and you know and you know that you belong, that you are known, that you are seen, that you are heard. That deeper place. Let's see. I'm going to skip. Skip, skip, skip. Okay. That's good revelations, but I don't have time, right? You know, in that place, when you go back to the temple, the presence of God, things that doesn't make sense in His presence, everything makes sense. That place where you're hurting and you don't understand why, that place where you're crying out, why, why? When you are standing in the presence of God, there's no why. Everything just made sense. Everything. You know, God is calling you and I into a deeper end. And what does He say? He said that the man measured 1,000, right, cubits. You know what that means? That 1,000 cubit means all your struggles, all your seasons and stages of life have been measured. So no matter how stuck you feel in it, whatever situation, the truth is, it's measured. It's not unending and you can't get out unless you figure it out. No, it has been measured by God. It has been measured by God. And after 1,000, the angel takes Ezekiel to where? Ankle deep. When you have a spirituality of ankle-deep spirituality, your awareness to God's presence is limited. So you don't know actually how to break through into the presence. But if somebody else like Juanita, who's been breaking through, and you go near her once in a while, then you get to experience freely. She pays. I just walk in freely, right? Ankle deep is, your feeling is more important. So if you're scared, you go into the water and, oh, this is nice. Oh, it's so refreshing. But you have full control of your body. Oh, this water, the presence of God. Woo, yay, right? But then once you become a little cold, once you become a little scared, you quickly run out of the water. Comfort is so important in this stage. You need constant encouragement. And you hear the voice, the lies of the enemy that discourages you over and over and over again. You know, one day my husband went to my pastor, Robert, and one day my pastor told Benjamin, why aren't you walking in obedience? And Benjamin was like, what are you talking about? I do everything you say. I am an obedient son. And this is what Pastor Daniels said. Well, I encouraged you 2 weeks ago. And you walked in obedient to that encouragement. for 1 week, and then you got discouraged after 1 week? Who told you? Who took away your encouragement? If you walk in obedience, you don't need encouragement over and over and over again. What you see, receive is yours forever. But when you're in ankle-deep spirituality, you have all the inheritance, as Juanita does. But you don't know, you're not aware. And therefore, you just quickly run out of the presence, the water of God. And then you stay there for a little longer, right? God also measures that stage of your life. He measures another 1,000 cubits, and he takes you to needy. Everybody say needy. It's hard to move around, but you still have the full control of your body. But your body is out of the water more than inside of the water. Here, in this stage, you want to value God's truth, and you want to want His presence, but in reality, you don't. If people ask you, of course, yes. In your words, in your thinking, yes, I want more of God. But in your action, you don't open your Bible. You don't pray. You don't come to prayer meeting. And, you know, even your house church, you know, you want to go, but then you don't. And, you know, right? In this spirituality, often you want it, but then you don't act like you want it. What God is saying is, okay, those of you that are in ankle deep, come on, let's go a little deeper. A little deeper to the knee deep. And then God measures that stage, another 1,000 cubits, and He takes you to the waist deep spirituality. Here, it's harder for you to get out of the water. It's easier to enjoy the water, right? And you desire Him more than your comfort. But oftentimes, when your desire for God's presence is greater than your comfort, oftentimes in this stage, you know what the enemy says to you? Fear. Fear of losing control. Fear of drowning. Fear of losing everything that's on the shore. Fear of, I don't know what's ahead. Oftentimes, enemy sends fear when you're in the waist deep. And so when the leaders come and say, oh, I think it's time for you to join this ministry. You know, it's time. And you're like, I want to, but you're afraid. Oh, but I don't know if I can, I don't want to commit to something that I can't really keep, you know. Those are just excuses that enemy just speaks, and you just accept. You just accept. I was telling our leadership in this table that, you know, in the beginning of ministry, I couldn't preach. I couldn't prophesy. I was terrified, right? Even when Benjamin gave me little announcements to give, I'm like, hi, church, right? And you could see Benjamin, like, half of his butt, like, up the chair, like, should I take over her? Or should I let her? She's like, and then whatever, it's like, oh, I say this. I'm like, oh, yeah. And I say, right? And my first time I had to preach, you know, I was tormented for a whole week. And Saturday night at 2 a.m., I was going crazy. And I went on my knees and said, oh, Benjamin, you're the anointed one. Preaching is your anointing, not mine. Not mine. I'm the behind-the-scenes person. You're the upfront God. You preach. Please, 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 if you love me, you would preach. It's like, no, you're preaching. You don't love me, you hate me. No, you're going to preach. I'm not ready. You want your wife to be, you know, you want people to laugh at your wife? I don't got this. It's like, no, you got it. No, I don't. I used to be tormented every time I had to preach. But you know what? It's because I was in the waist deep. And the came here, next was swim deep. You hear me? Once I go to the deep end, he has no control of my life, of my, you understand? The Holy Spirit takes full control. The enemy knows. Amen. Enemy knows once we go into the deep, he's going to do whatever he can to keep you from going deeper and waste. Fear is not just normal part of life. You understand? You think, oh, it's just, I just don't have confidence. Oh, it's because I grew up this way. Oh, it's because I grew up hearing this. Oh, you think it's normal part of your life, but it is demonic. You understand? It's not because you have no confidence. It's not because you have no experience. No, it's demonic. The demonic world wants to keep you from jumping in to the deep end, to the river. Do you understand the swim deep? Not long ago, I was talking to my best friend, and I don't have time because I only have 5 minutes, so I'm going to make it fast, right? She and I pray for her all my life. She persecuted me for being a Christian. She made fun of me. She asked me, you know, these difficult questions I didn't know how to answer. She really mocked me, even though she was my best friend. After many years of praying for her, she gets saved. And then many years later, we end up at a Bible college together. And while we were there, we met this missionary from Russia who was a woman. And we're like, wow, we want to be just like you. And she started to disciple us. And after about a year, she tried to prophesy me into marrying her little brother. And I was like, peace out. God did not tell me to marry your brother. So I ran, right? When you're not supposed to be somewhere, it's okay to run. You understand? It's okay to run. So I ran. But when I ran, I lost all my friends. Because they all belong to that group. They treated me like a black sheep, right? However, few months later, after I ran from that group, they started to do this deliverance ministry and ended up killing a young woman. They beat this woman to death in the name of deliverance. And so I turned on the Channel 2 news, and that missionary, her mom and my best friend and two other Russian girls were in jail. I was like, what? Of course, you know, I kept visiting her, and finally, like, she understood what went wrong. The DA made a deal with the girls and let them go after 6 months, and they only charged the mother and the missionary. 22 years after this happened, this year was 22 years later. She didn't give up serving God. She went back to Bible college. She went to seminary. She fell in love. She got married. She planted a church with her husband. She has 3 kids. And last year or 2 years ago, she said, you know what? I have this degree, marriage family therapist degree, and I'm not making, I still have to pay $100,000. I should make some money. And so she went through all the things, and she passed the test, she did all the hours, and she interviewed, and she got the job. And when you get a job, you have to do the fingerprinting, and the Department of Justice contacted her and said, you will not be able to practice therapy for the rest of your life because of what happened 22 years ago. So I was like, oh, I'm listening to her. And my friend was clinically depressed all her life, right? And so I was like, oh shoot, this is gonna crush. Are you okay? Are you okay? How are you dealing with this? And this is what she said. You know what, Sonny? It's kind of crazy. A few weeks back, before I got this letter, I felt like I needed to make a change. See, my best friend is just like Benjamin. Korean female version of Benjamin. She's articulate. She's so smart, right? She's anointed. She can say anything shallow and make it sound like it's a revelation from the throne room of God, right? Even though she's so anointed and so gifted, she stayed in the waist deep. She pursued God, she served God, but she would never preach. She would never go on the mission field. She would never do anything beyond her fear, her comfort zone. She tried to exercise, but just like my husband Benjamin, often she tries and she realized, I got gifted for this, and she stops. I saw that all her life. But a few months before, she's like, I feel like God told me to make a little change. Everybody say little change. To exercise. So she started to exercise 2 to 3 times a day, a week. You may ask, what does that got to do with the spirituality and the presence of God? Listen, it has everything to do with it. When she started to work out, she said it was painful, but she felt the presence of God, and she heard the voice of God saying, baby girl, you could do it. Anna, I know it's hard, but you could do it. And so even though she's feeling it, she's hearing the voice of God, and she's sensing the presence of God, working out, exercising, that she hates, but then she's feeling the presence of God. And after a couple of weeks of that, another thing came, another thought came to her mind. You know, you're a morning person. You should sleep early. She said, I made a second little change. Everybody say little change. See, she didn't go to bed early because after she put her kids to bed, 3 kids, that's the only free time she had alone. And she's an introvert. So she stayed up, you know, doing a lot of things, but she realized she's miserable at night. She's miserable in the morning because she's exhausted. And so she said, I'm going to go to bed early. So after exercising for 2-3 weeks, which led her to do another little change, she started to go to bed early. And after a couple of weeks of going to bed early, she woke up in the morning refreshed. And for the first time in 22 years, she felt like reading the Bible. She's like, I want to read the Bible. God, I want to spend time with you. And she started, and when she started doing it immediately, she felt the presence of God, the weightiness of God's presence came down. She said, I don't know how to explain it. All I know is every time I woke up and I opened my Bible, the weightiness, I just felt anchored in the morning. And then, 2 weeks later, she got that letter. And everybody's freaking out. Even her son is like, it's not fair, mommy. They don't know who you are. You didn't know what you were doing back then. And they don't know what an awesome therapist you are. They don't know it's not fair. And my friend looked her son in his eyes and said, no, son, it is fair. You know what she said? When she was able to experience the weightiness of God for the first time, she was able to understand and know the weightiness of her action. And she told her son, son, somebody died. And she told me, Sonny, somebody died because of what I did. And because of that, I can't do therapy for the rest of my life, and not being able to do therapy after $100,000 of school loans that she still had to pay, that consequence was weighty. It was heavy. But you know what she said? But because somebody, the weightiness of what happened, what she did, she said, it's fair. And when I accepted the weightiness of the consequence of what happened 22 years ago, she said, I don't feel like God is punishing me, Sonny. I feel like this is just a consequence, the weightiness of that action 22 years ago. And I fully accept it. And when I fully accepted it, I feel free. And she said, when I made those little changes, he prepared me. He prepared me for this. If I didn't feel the weightiness of God, there's no way I could have accepted this. And then for the first time, I heard my best friend say, I just think that maybe it's not therapy that I'm called to, but to be a true pastor that ministers. For the first time, I heard her accept her calling to the full-time ministry. Weightiness. Oftentimes, you and I, you know what keeps us from entering into the deep ends of His presence? So we don't feel the weightiness. It depends on, you know you should pray. You know you should see God's face. You know you should worship. You know. But that desire, that knowing is not heavy, it's not weighty enough, and you are able to flick it off. It's not like, shh, it's okay. Oftentimes, watching Netflix, right? Going out to coffee, whatever. That is more weightier than the call, the deep call of God, inviting you and I to the deeper waters of His presence. Weightiness. You know what God is saying? If you would respond to this deep calling, this invitation that I'm giving you to come to the deep ends of the water, if you would take a risk and take a chance of coming deeper into my presence, I will break off that fear that has been tormenting you. I will make a way. I will remove every lie of the enemy that kept you from entering in. Tonight, that's my encouragement. That's my prayer for every one of you. That you would respond to that invitation. Thus far, I don't know what kept you. Some of you, maybe you're still in the ankle deep, and it's so easy for you to go in and out. Maybe some of you knee deep. You want to desire, but you really don't. But you want to. But then some of you, you're in the waist deep, and you want, you desire, and you go beyond your comfort zone to be with God, to love God, to serve God, but the fear created a wall before you. And God is saying, if you would answer my call, my invitation, I will remove that wall. I will remove that wall. I want you to, I know we're going to do meditation, but that's okay. I want you to stand up. Let me just pray for you before we enter into that reflection time. I want you to ask God this. God, can you awaken my senses, my awareness to your presence? Just ask. God, I want to want you more. Can you ask? Can you ask God? Can you give me the discernment to discern your presence? I want you to ask, God, can you allow the weightiness of your presence to come upon me? I want to feel the weightiness of your presence. Can you just ask right now? Just ask. You know, as you're talking to God right now, I want to just release this testimony of this lady that I met. Her name is Julia. And you know what? When she was young, in her 20s, she walked with God. She said, I heard the audible voice of God daily I walk in the manifest presence of God daily. And one day, God came to me and said, Yulia, I'm not gonna walk with you like I've done. But I want you to trust me. Trust me. And after that, she said, God weaned his manifest presence out of her life. And for 20 years, she's been desperate to get back to that place. And about a few years ago, this is what she prayed. She said, God, I'm willing to pay any price. I'm willing to pay any price. You could take my health. You could take all my money. I'm willing to pay the price to get back to that intimacy with you, to know your presence. God, you could take my ability to walk. You could take even my family. And when I heard that, I was shocked. What? Why would you pray that? I could never pray that. God, you could take everything, but do not touch my daughter. I'm there. I'm still there. But you know what? How was Julia able to pray that? Why? Because she's known his presence beyond what I've known. You hear me? See, the more you taste, the more you get hungry. The more you get hungry, the more desperate you become. So I want you to pray that, God, remove fear. Remove every lie of the enemy. God, I want to know you. I want to want you. I want you to pray that prayer right now. Just a few more seconds. I don't know, 20, 30 more seconds. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to just strip off the fear. Strip off lies. Just remove everything from your heart, from your mind. And I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to awaken. Awaken your hunger. You see, because you and I were made from the beginning to want, to desire, and to live from his presence. So Holy Spirit, I pray for every sister in this room that you would take us on a journey